You know, some people are just wired differently. In a good way, like your host on this radio show, who scours professional journals and is passionate about tracking down the most reliable resources to bring you the best possible info for past, current, and future trends in the health and science community. This is Ask the Expert on the Dr. Shoup Show. On-demand info is always available on ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have all of you here. Thank you very, very much. I absolutely appreciate it. And today is a special day, like I told you, because I have a special guest going to be joining us. You and I have talked at length about the fact that I go out and teach and instruct other dentists on how to do the stuff I do. I get questioned all the time. Why aren't more dentists doing the kind of dentistry that you do? Well, let me introduce you to Dr. Eric Cornelius of San Antonio, Texas. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing very well, Randy. Doing great.
Listen, thank you for being here. I have to tell everybody, this guy is insanely jet-lagged because you are just back from a mission trip to where?
Sierra Leone
in Africa. See, an African mission trip connection. This is the best. How was your trip?
It was very good.
You and I spoke about the trip when I was in San Antonio teaching the class. You talked about what you did on your trips and what I usually do on mine. Yours is more adult and extraction oriented. How was your trip? What things are you thinking about, and what kind of plans are you making for the future?
So this one was different than most I've been on previously. I do a lot in Central America, and there's a lot of missions in Central America. There's a lot of dentists and good dentists in Central America. In Sierra Leone, they don't have much of anything available. Pretty much everybody I treated had never seen a dentist before in their life. I have practiced for 16 years, and to have a draining fistula through the outside of the face is not a common thing. I have never seen one in my practice. I saw three in the week I was there.
So what he's talking about is a tooth that is so badly infected, it actually has like a gigantic boil that not only goes through the gums, through the bone and through the gums, but it goes out through the cheek and drains outside on the person's face. That is crazy extensive.
Yes. I mean, I've seen swelling, and I'm sure you have many, many times. Every dentist has, but most of the time it's treated very, very early. These have been held for a long time. One of them actually wasn't draining, but it had swollen close to the size of a softball. And I drained a tremendous amount of pus, and then we left a drain in place.
Oh, of course. Well, I can't be more proud of you for going over, because, yes, this just exemplifies the needs that are there. I mean, if you hadn't have been there treating these people, they would have simply suffered horribly until all the infection just completely destroyed everything. And so,
yes,
kudos to you for being there. So you and I chatted about this trip when I was in San Antonio, but I wanted to also talk about, we offered this class, the Academy of Microscope Enhanced Dentistry, in conjunction with the Texas Academy of General Dentistry and the Central Texas Dental Association, offer this class. You saw the offering. You saw, hey, there's Juan Carlos, and there's George, and there's Randy, and there's Angela. I think I'll attend. What was there that motivated you to come to this conference in the first place?
So I had taken a 3-day continuum on kind of advanced root canals with Dr. Wynn down in Clearwater, Florida. And he was pushing very aggressively for, if you're going to progress in endodontics, you really need to be looking at a microscope. It's not necessarily the standard of care, but it's the standard of excellence. And so that was the next step that I was looking at. And I had kind of looked at AMED and their class offerings, and most of it was logistically inhibiting for me to go. I think there was one in San Diego, and then there was one in, I believe,
Charlotte.
Okay. I knew it was in the Carolinas. I couldn't remember where. And so it was a logistical issue that I was struggling with. So when I saw it right up the road from me, I was like, I'm going to make it happen.
So when you came and when you sat in the class with everybody and we all did our presentations, how did the day impact on you?
So I came in expecting to learn how to flatten the curve of changing dentistry from loops to a microscope. That was really my big desire showing up in the class, is that I mean, the vast majority of dentists end up retiring due to muscle skeletal problems, and I would have to say I'm probably on that path as well. I don't really want to go down that path. Microscope dentistry, if you implement it correctly, will allow you not to go down that path. And so that was really my desires when I showed up, was how do I flatten that learning curve? How do I get my 6 months down to 3 months or whatever it's going to take?
So that I can practice the rest of my career without being in pain and being crippled at the end.
Yes.
So how did it go?
It went really well. And what shocked me was, I mean, yes, we did cover that. I mean, right off the bat, we went over ergonomics and all of that aspect of how you're going to actually use the microscope correctly to successfully extend your career, reduce pain, and have success. It was mostly about the doctor more than anything else. And then second session was mostly about, hey, there's lots of stuff we can do with a microscope, not just not hurt. And then you had presented on the biomimetics, and that was really a little bit mind-altering, a little mind-bending, kind of paradigm-shifting. The concepts of good is not good enough. Let's strive for great. And then a second paradigm is that we have had changes in bonding technology, and we have not been changing our requirements, or not necessarily our requirements, but our abilities to not have as much coverage as we previously needed because of materials.
So when So when I told you I don't cut crowns anymore, you kind of had a what? And then all of a sudden it was a, oh, heck of a deal. Did that resonate with you? That had to be kind of an aha moment.
Well, it means that there's something. I do not do inlays or onlays. And the number one reason I do not do inlays and onlays is I've had so many of them come out from ones that were placed in other offices and show up in my office. And so I desire very much to place only restorations that are both good and also have a long-term standing. I kind of side with Gordon Christensen on this one. If I am not very comfortable that this is going to last greater than 5 years, it's not something I put on my docket of treatment options. Sometimes we have to do stuff just because of patient desires or positionings of finances or such, but as my desires, I do not lay out a first treatment choice if I don't believe it to last 5 years or more. So when I talk about inlays and onlays of what I'm seeing coming into my office, that wasn't the truth. So it was never something I wanted to pursue in education because it didn't fulfill that length of time that I want to see for all of my work before I ever have to worry about it.
So here I stand up in front of the lecture hall presenting nothing but inlays and onlays that I've had in place and I can show you how to put in place for 15 to 20 years. That had to kind of really challenge your belief system.
Yes.
Good. That's my point. I'm happy. I've succeeded. I want to challenge everybody's belief system. It's good. So other than the inlays and onlays, what was presented there that was new, different, and maybe changed your attitude a bit?
Attitude, I'm not sure, but changed my perception or understanding was when you were walking through composite bonding in levels that the vast majority of the population doesn't care about. The vast majority of dentists placing posterior composites. I cannot count how many posterior composites come into my office that have broken down margins and staining and bacterial invasion in the margins.
Oh, of course.
And I don't see that on the ones that I do. And I am very proud of how the level of work that I do. And then I showed up in your class and I was like, man, there is a lot more I can do. So it was really pushing out my perceptions of what can still be done. It's one thing when you're like, okay, yeah, I'm doing a great job, but then you realize I can do so much more. And you added some, not necessarily complicated things, small things that will change and increase my results even better. So I was really excited about that.
Well, I'm glad. Yeah, and it is indeed, when you get to the level that you and I are, it gets the differences are minute details that really shift exactly how everything is going to turn out. It's minding those incredibly tiny details that makes it all work. And being able to see through a microscope, for me, is just irreplaceable because I can see so much better than anybody else. So I'm excited for you to get your scope. I'm excited for you to you know, kind of go on and go further in your exploration of all this sort of stuff. I'm thrilled for you, man. This is really cool.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is good. So I made the offer. I always make the offer for people to come visit me, and the offer for you still stands. If you ever want to come up to my office and hang out for a day or two and just watch what we do, more power to you. I invite everybody to come up. And then I hope I get to see you out in September at our big meeting in Phoenix. I hope you could break free and come out for that, because that would be we could give you a lot more time on the scope with that. One last thing that we covered in the course was rebuilding. You mentioned about you went to get extra training in endodontics, and since you're already in there doing your root canal, we went through a lot of work in rebuilding the inside of the tooth with the Ribbond and the Everex. Is that something that you had seen before, or was that new?
That was new. I've used the Ribbond on basically like emergency Maryland bridges or periodontal splinting.
Sure.
But never in a build-up scenario where we're actually building up, particularly with that, as you called, the carpet and the walls, where we build it up in multiple areas. That was very, looked good. It makes sense. If you have a well-placed composite that is bonded correctly and we're getting close to the same strength as the actual tooth itself is, there's no reason we can't replace it with that.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's so cool to do it through a scope. It's so, I did 5 or 6 of them this week to rebuild a tooth that in anybody else's hands would probably get extracted or at least have gigantic posts and cores put in it that would ultimately fail. So it's good. Eric, I tell you, man, I thank you very, very much for carving out some time and being here and being on the program, sharing your experience in the class. I tell people I go teach, but you're the only person that I've had validate that, yes, he does exactly show up. And, yes, he does have, you know, some slides that he gets to show and so forth. But I thank you very much. I thank you very much for your feedback. Really, really important, always to get better and always to improve. And thanks for sharing that story about Sierra Leone with all my listeners. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of us that go out in the world and try to help other people who otherwise are in tough shape. And kudos to you. All the applause you can get, you deserve for taking that effort. I know it's exhausting and it's a huge commitment and it's a huge expense. And just well done, man. I'm really, really proud of you for doing it. Anybody that does that, just deserves a special place in my heart, and that's for sure. So thank you for all of those things. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for having me. It's a great talk.
It's great.